A young Gamayan girl sits in her father's blacksmith store. The blows of hammer clank away as the rustling of the crowd outside grows and grows, and then slowly starts to fade as the crowd moves towards the pier. She's quickly scribbling on a piece of parchment, trying to figure out this puzzle. What exactly did she mean? What does she mean by that question? What did she mean? And then all of a sudden, a light bulb hits, and she's figured it out. She quickly scribbles something down on the parchment, grabs the parchment, and starts running out of her dad's shop. The young Gamayan girl races through the streets of Rumplank, nearly getting clobbered right in the face as a drunk goblin waves his tankard and nearly smashes her right in her beak. The goblin says, "Oh, I didn't see you there, Missy. Wait, where are you running off to?" The young Gamayan girl pays no attention. She quickly ducks under, dives through legs, slides through feet, passes around people, around their hips. She gets to the docks, making her way through Old Rumplank, and gets to the docks where there a massive, beautiful, beautifully designed galleon sits. Climbing the plank is a tall human woman, or what appears to be a human woman. She's wearing a tricorn cap, flowing red hair, and the young Gamayan girl lifts up the parchment and says, Captain Fairwind, I figured it out. Tessa turns to her, gives the young Gamayan girl a smile. The girl knows exactly what is meant by that smile. I figured it out, 25 north. That's the latitude. That's where our islands sit, right? Tessa reaches into her pants pocket, pulls out a gold doubloon, flips it through the air with her thumb. The gold doubloon flies through the air, catching glimpse of the sun, blinding folks for just a split second. The young Gamayan girl takes off her hat, catches it in the hat, as Tessa smiles, gives a curt nod, and then boards the ship. This is the 25 North Podcast. Everybody, we're finally here, all of us. I've seen each one of you individually for introductions. I've seen Corey a couple times for the introductions in particular, but as a group, it's been a while. How's everybody doing?
Woo! It's finally here.
It's been a long awaited.
It's been a hot minute, yeah.
A lot of work going into this before we even kick off. It's relieving to finally get to it.
Absolutely. It's working with the developers and the publishers on getting the book, reading the book, getting all the maps made, getting the foundry set up. But yeah.
I mean, I feel like you got to do, just quick shout outs. Battle Zoo, the Foundry team, Paizo, just the entire very cool community around this game. Shouts out to all the people who put in very hard work.
Wenches and Rogues, too. Wenches and Rogues. Right? Right before we recorded this, somebody was making a comment in our Discord about how awesome the opening and closing music bits were. So, shout out to Corey for getting Wenches and Rogues on board with our music.
Shout out to Wenches and Rogues for existing at a small town, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
All right.
Rachel, Sarah, Cynthia, you guys are a little quiet. What's going on?
Well, we got to be careful because Cynthia and I are in the same room together. So when we mute our mics and things like that, it's going to be kind of interesting. So we're going to be trying our best there. But yeah, we're super excited. We just moved. So There are boxes all around us. It's been really interesting kind of planning this out with you guys while we've been going through this move across the country. So I just started my new job 2 days ago, Cynthia last week. So it's been kind of fun going back and forth between this kind of fun stuff and, of course, the careers. So, right. Yeah, it's exhausting as well.
And thankfully, the double up in the room shouldn't last very long, right? I think you close on your house here shortly.
Yes, yeah, and we're definitely super excited about that as well.
Yeah. Rachel, what's going on?
I'm super excited to finally get to play. That's what it's all about, is the actual play. So not that I don't appreciate all the work that went in ahead of time, but
absolutely. Well,
yeah, much like Juan Jick, it's time for us to pull the trigger, baby.
Exactly. So what I did is, let me set it up here for a little bit. And when we start, we will be starting in a particular setting, in a particular situation. The assumption is that your characters might know one another, they might not, and the situation they find themselves in might be that very first encounter. But I had you all do some homework, and much like the teacher, I am going to start calling on folks to tell us a little bit about their character, what got them to that particular moment. So without further ado, I am going to call on Syl.
All right. Well, Syl arrived in Rumplank about 2 years ago under, less than optimum situation, but we won't get too far into that. They found themselves making their own way on the streets and making their money with their, unscrupulous ways. Quick hands, quick tongue when they found their hands lacking. That sounded not great. They gamble.
They gamble. Idle hands. Idle hands, Rachel.
Yeah, sorry about that. Lots of gambling, lots of conning, talking their way out of trouble.
Hey, I put rated R as our podcast. It does have explicit content, so I'm not going to say we're going to be an After Dark podcast, but we're not. Not an After Dark podcast.
Bow chicka wow wow.
Yeah, this is what happens when I go slightly off script. Anyways, a few weeks ago, I believe, a little while ago, they found themselves in their favorite haunt, the Rumpled Feather. You know, usual, taking tricks, taking card tricks. Mm-hmm. when a fight broke out, and they thought that was the perfect moment to maybe take a little bit off, relieve some extra coins from some pirates. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it turned out that these pirates worked for the infamous Aronax Endymion. They found themselves facing a little bit more heat than they normally liked. So when the call came out from the prince that there was an expedition, Syl saw it as a perfect ticket to get out of town, away from trouble until, their untimely luck perhaps was forgotten a little bit. So.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. I think we're all learning a little bit more about Syl. Who knows?
Hmm.
Areas to explore, perhaps.
Perhaps.
We'll see. Now, meanwhile, while this is happening, while the former admiral of the Chelish Navy is hot on the heels of Syl, what is going on with Rizurk?
Let me set the mood a little bit. You hear waves as they crash against the shore. Trees blow in the distance. And a lumbering dragon picks through corpses along the beach line. Amongst the pockets, he finds a call to action. A look for group. And, not finding much else amongst the corpses, makes his way into the old haunt of Rumplank. A a familiar place to him, but not a place he's necessarily the most welcome. He would make straight away for finding whatever this paper actually meant. Not that he's really sure, but it says that there's treasure. So sign him up. Managed to get through tense, but productive interview, and has just been kind of bumming around town since, hawking some wares here and there.
Yeah, our old bobble and knick-knack filled duster or trench coat.
Yeah. Hey, you guys want to buy an eye patch? I got like 47 of them if you got a lot of eyes.
Love it. Love it. Now, as Rizurk is waiting to see how the final interview went, we also run into a gorgeous half-elf woman by the name of Procta. How did she get to Rumplank? What brings her here? What about this call for adventurers, like, intrigued Procta? Tell us a little bit about her.
Thank you, Jason. So Procta's immediate past is a bit nebulous to her. She has the ability to find herself in different places, even if she doesn't want to. So she's at the old Rumplank on a bit of a mission. She was sent here. She had an encounter with an interesting character that we can save some of that story for another episode. But Procta is here to look for knowledge. And this, I don't want to give in too much information, but she's just here because someone has wanted her to be here.
Excellent. Now, while Procta is awaiting to see if the fruits of that of her labor are going to bear anything, we also have our gorgeous, maybe a little airheaded gunslinger Wanjik. What situations is he finding himself in? Because I have a feeling that there's quite a story to tell.
Oh, Wan. Yeah, so Wanjik, perhaps I was the one who summoned that beautiful elf. No, I'm just kidding. But Wanjik, he is literally just wandering. He is in search for basically what his purpose is. So he finds himself in a Rumplank, more so just searching for a local tavern. And as he's walking around, kind of light a cigarette between his fingers, just occasionally taking a nice puff, he's nodding at every single person he sees, just like a wink here or there. Just wonderful time he's having. Wonderful time he has everywhere he goes. And how he got there? Well, let's just say he wasn't necessarily the most liked in his previous locations. He would cause quite a bit of a ruckus there in a lot of the taverns. He would hit on a lot of local barmaids and a lot of different, maybe even the bartenders, different adventurers that come through, basically everything. He's a good-looking man, and he knows it, and everybody to him is very good-looking. So they're all his friend. He wants to get close to them and maybe a little bit too close. So he's been punched a few times, maybe got a little black eye going on as he's just winking at all these friends, looking for that local tavern just to do it all again.
You know what just hit me? What? And I'm ashamed that it just finally hit me. You know what vibes I'm feeling from Wanjik is Captain Jack Harkness from Doctor Who. Doctor Who fans? Anybody?
Don't hate me. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
Everybody's nerd card is revoked. All of you.
Yeah. Hopefully some of the listeners know exactly what I'm talking about when I say Captain Jack Harkness. Yeah, we'll save that. We'll save that discussion for the Discord. Meanwhile, we have one more individual. And he is definitely not the least of the individuals standing at 7'1", weighing in at 325 pounds, we have the man, the myth, maybe the legend, Rodan.
Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Oh, Rodan. Rodan has just journeyed in from the swamp inland, further inland than the jungle outlands to the east of Barnacle Bay. After a day's journey, he took a profoundly satisfying nap on a bench in Rumplank, and then feeling well-rested, he knew he had to get down to his favorite kind of work and play. Much like a couple of these other ne'er-do-wells here, he started prowling bars and making bets, buying drinks, and fighting for fun and profit. Being polite, of course, on the way to the bar when he heard a man at the corner yelling the news that the prince was now taking applications for an extraordinary team, he took the leaflet just to be nice. You know, you can't walk by a man who's trying to get you to take the leaflet. You gotta take it. Come on. So inside the bar, he's being told what a good canon father he'd be. And he gets excited about potential fatherhood and a career change. He's traveled quite light and he doesn't have a ton of roots. So this is starting to look like a more and more interesting kind of gig. I want you to imagine the night has gone on a little bit longer. Maybe an hour later, maybe two. And I want you to think now. Picture, if you will, a hyena man, the exact dimensions of Shaquille O'Neal being thrown through the doorway of a bar. A freeze frame as he sails through the air gracelessly. See his spittle fly as he arcs backward. His enormous frame, his long arms wheeling through the air. After being slid down the bar then and knocking every glass over within a block radius, his head hits the wall and he lands snout first into the leaflet, his crossed eyes, father beginning to read it, and he considers a much easier way of making a buck. Well, maybe easier.
Excellent. Now, what we find ourselves the next day, perhaps the next 2 days, depending on where your introduction left off, we find ourselves standing atop a wide swath of velvet carpet. The carpet cuts through the center of Castle Rumplank's magnificent royal hall. The sweet smell of nearby Barnacle Bay wafts through the open glass windows. Before you stands a family of four beautiful Gamayans, in spectacular regal garb, flanked all around by countless royal guards. King Okeke, the family's dignified but slightly distracted-looking patriarch, eyes each of you carefully, then clears his throat.
Brave adventurers, he intones. Welcome to Castle Rumplank. It is a great honor to meet such promising young heroes to be. I see my son, Prince Kulupi, has found some truly outstanding candidates for our quest. Why, it reminds me of my own time as a young man. I was a bit of a rogue back then, you know.
A handsome older woman standing next to the king, Queen Maxell, nudges him lightly with one talon, putting Okeke back on track.
Yes, sir, quite right. We've asked you here for a very special adventure. My boy Kalupi has recently heard rumors that somewhere about town is a magical treasure map. And not just any magical treasure map, mind you, but one which would lead to the hideout of Poppy Von Barnacle, our fine city's founder and the most legendary pirate to ever sail the Indigo Isles. Even more excitingly, our scholars have discovered that we, the Red Feather family, have unknowingly had a piece of this magical map hanging in this very hall for untold generations.
The king presents a brown, faded parchment, fraying along the edges with a jagged tear along one side.
It's a rather unimpressive-looking scrap, I must say, but it's clearly magical, and once united with its missing half, it will no doubt lead the way to fortunes unimaginable. This, the king concludes, is what we ask you. Take this map fragment and find its twin. Rumplank is aflutter with rumors about a magical map and what treasures it might reveal. Ask around town and learn whatever you can of Poppy, her legacy in this map. Someone is sure to know where its missing half could be hiding. Once you've reunited the two pieces, follow it to Poppy Van Barnacle's legendary hidden sanctum. No doubt it will be riddled with traps and perils. Poppy was a devious one, that she was. But you'll also undoubtedly find treasures that defy description. Make this expedition a worthwhile one, I assure you. So, what say you, adventurers? Will you accept this quest and reclaim the lost legacy of Poppy Van Barnacle for the glory of Rumplank?
For the glory! Roden raises his fist in the air triumphantly in like a 1980s style. Hell yeah.
Fracta tries her hardest and takes out a book that is typically she carries tied to her waist. She grabs her book, she consults real quick, and then in reply to the king, she says very forcibly, "Ahoy, ahoy," and closes the book and puts it back.
Oh yeah, that sounded real natural. You been working on that?
She looks and sees Rodan and she blinks a little and she says, "I have deduced that that is the correct pirate term for this city to agree. I believe that is true. Am I correct?"
Yeah, you got it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you got it. All right, so, King Dude, any pointers where we should be starting here? You know, I don't want to waste your time. I'm dripping on your floor. My apologies. Hopefully these carpets aren't expensive. But, yeah, any pointers, you know, sections of the city ripe for the peaking?
And we'll pause right there. Let's just get a quick physical descriptor. I know we talked about Rodan. We know exactly what Rodan standing. Basically, Shaquille O'Neal, if Shaquille O'Neal was a hyena and wearing a bathrobe. And only a bathrobe, except for boxer shorts. The rest of you, we got a little bit of Rizark. He's a dragon, but let's get some physical descriptions here. Who exactly stands before the royal family, the Red Feathers?
I'll jump right into Rizark. Rizark's a medium-sized dragon. Four legs, tail, horns, long neck, wings, all that jazz. He is down on all four legs, much like an animal. But yeah, he's probably taller than Rodan standing up. Being a dragon, he's a pretty hefty boy as well. And definitely packs a bit of heft to him.
Yeah, and he, what colors is he?
So he's kind of a seafoamy blue that kind of, as it gets higher, moves almost into like a putrid, algae-toned greens and purples.
Excellent.
Imagine a swamp kind of spit on a really nice dragon.
That's just beautiful.
And I know he's a toadstool dragon, so probably like patches of fungus growing here and there.
Yeah, he's got some fungus and what looks like maybe coral tubes and just kind of the stuff you would find in like a low-lying bog that maybe at high tide sees some seawater. But it's nice. A lot of that kind of swampy growth that you see.
Excellent. What about Juan? What's Juan's physical description right now?
So Juan, who also lifted his fist, just kind of looking over at his furry friend there. So he's taller. He's not as tall as either the dragon or, of course, his furry friend. But he does stand taller than probably, you know, the other two that are standing there with him. He's an average size gentleman. And he is covered head to toe in clothing. Lots of layers.
He doesn't really stand out too much other than the fact that even in the summertime, if it's blistering hot, super humid, he still has that garb on. Head to toe, even gloves on and everything like that. He's got his nice hat on, some goggle-esque things that represent like sunglasses that he has tipped down so he can clearly see the beautiful people in front of him. And yeah, he's just, if you can see his face from underneath the hat, which he would definitely tip it up so that you could, very handsome man. And like I said earlier, he knows it too. So he kind of has that face of cockiness on him, but it's friendly. It's very friendly cockiness, or at least that's what he thinks he is portraying, his friendliness.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Now, Procta, as she grabbed this book and flipped through the couple quick pages and says, ahoy, ahoy. What's her physical description?
Yeah, so she's a young half elf, and she's quite beautiful, as you alluded before. She has dark almond-shaped eyes, and if you pay attention and look very closely, she actually has scars around her eyes. And she has gone through the trouble of actually covering those scars with tattoos so that the scars are not as noticeable. She does carry a book tied to her waist, as I mentioned before, and she wears a black robe. So whenever she, very rarely, she pulls down the hood, and she has long, beautiful, dark hair. And I think that the most interesting or eye-catching feature about Procta is not Procta herself. She does have an air of like being odd and just kind of like a misplaced character in this world. But the most eye-catching thing about her is the little octopus that is seemingly attached to her neck. And it looks a bit gross in the beginning. And sometimes the octopus detaches and like goes to her shoulder and just stays there. And actually the octopus comes in very handy for Procta because she carries a quail feather that she uses. So she like touches the octopus and then the octopus infuses some of its ink into the feather. And then she uses that for writing in her book. So that pretty much describes Procta.
Excellent. I love that little synergy there. That's beautiful. That's awesome. With the ink and the quill.
No, I did want to ask a question, which is, are you planning at some point with Procta to be able to take the spell Mirror Image? And I only asked that so that you could, yeah, if you're going to have the plural Procta, well, practice makes perfect.
That's a good one. Oh, and I gotta say, I'm really digging Research's voice. I think it's so cool and so in character. I love it.
Yeah, thanks. It's I've been Rizurk for about a week now. All my staff are going nuts. I'm one of those people that likes to just kind of get into the character's mind space. So luckily, I'm pretty stupid to begin with, so Rizurk just comes naturally.
Oh yeah, my gosh.
No. I think Roden would be like, man, you sound brackish as hell, and I mean that in the nicest possible way.
Like brackish water?
You brackish old beautiful bastard.
I really appreciate it, but you're not my type, and this isn't the right crowd to be flirting with me. The king is right here, man.
And lastly, Syl, so give me a physical description for Syl.
Yeah. Syl is a pretty slight human, maybe a little over 5 feet. They have out of control black hair on half of their head, which they've attempted to tie back. The other half is kind of scarred, you know, older scars kind of crisscrossing. They're very pale, almost devoid of color, except kind of a blue tinge to their skin. And then they have kind of fae-like pupil-less eyes that are a swirl of blues, greens, purples even, very, you know, ocean reminiscent. So that's Syl, who is currently kind of raising their eyebrow at this ragtag group they've fallen in with.
One point of clarification. You said yes. Human, but did you mean fetchling?
Well, as far as Syl knows, they're human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll unpause there. And at this point, the prince, the crown prince, clears his throat. Yeah, that is the question of the hour. Rumplank's cultural hubs is a good as place as any to start. The Temple of Many Colors, Quill and Scroll Academy, even just wandering up and down Treasure Beach is a great way to learn about the latest goings-on. The prince then pauses, thinks for a moment, then slowly adds, "Of course, there are also other parts of Rumplank, what some might call seedier aspects, where rumors fly about as freely as pigeons. I've never been there myself, but I hear the Gutted Snake is a fine tavern to visit if you like your grog with a side of fistfights, and based off of the black eye I see upon you..." As
Rodan looks around sheepishly, like, "Yeah, I do know about the Gutted Snake already."
Juan takes his hat, kind of covers his eye a little bit, and just kind of,
"Well, perhaps you too can show your companions where exactly the seedier elements of our fine town lie."
"We've got no problem with seedier parts of town," so we'll say, stepping up to take the other half of the map. We're taking this with us, right? So we can match them up.
So the queen speaks up and says, "Well, I don't think that..." And just as she says that, the Princess Atriella steps forward, raising her gaze from the journal in which she's been keeping notes on the conversation. "Well, Poppy was a genius cartographer, as well as a storied fighter. As you can see, the map fragment you hold here contains little information by itself. All the most important details are missing from this piece. Furthermore, I've had our court wizard examine the parchment, and they've identified powerful magic enchanting it. We believe that the map will only make sense when it is reunited with its missing half. Or somehow repaired. Possibly with some sort of keystone or another magic item? I'm not sure. Though, until then, interpreting the map fragment we do have will be about as easy as trying to divine one's fortune by studying the insides of a coconut. Of course, I don't mean to speak ill of coconut diviners," Atriella quickly rushes in to add. They've every right to their own pursuits, after all. You might even try talking to some of the clerics at the Temple of Many Colors about the map. The temple's high priest, Prismatic Colby, has sage knowledge on theological matters worthy of respect, though he has an ego to match. Colby likes to claim that Poppy Von Barnacle was as devout as she was cunning, though that may just be a way to fill seats at prayer service. At any rate, perhaps the priest could offer some insight into Poppy's map?"
"Absolutely. I'm very familiar with the temple. Perhaps..."
"Oh, good. Then you'll likely either have either spoken or at least recognize Prismatic Goldby."
"Absolutely. We might as well take this fragment with us, though. Perhaps we'll find a way to repair it."
And that's exactly what we're asking you to quest for." And then the king speaks up. "Quite right. As she said, the map itself is no good to us in its condition. It's magical, but we can't make heads or tails of it. Or shall I say beak or feather tails?"
Right.
Hey, yo, know, the kid really confused me, but this guy, he makes sense.
Well, any other questions?
Precta raises her hand. Oh, go ahead, Rizurk.
Oh, no, it's cool. All you.
All right. Does your majesty know the whereabouts of the remaining piece, or do you have any information, or should we just follow up with this sage that you have spoken of?
Well, that's exactly the quest. It's for you to help find the other half of this map. As far as compensation goes, that's what you're getting at, young miss. As far as compensation goes, it's a very valid question, and please forgive me if I wasn't clear before. Locating such an important piece of history can only be regarded as a boon for Rumplank. When you return to the castle with your quest complete, we'll send an envoy to further explore the hideout and recover any precious historical relics you're unable to bring back yourself, but as I can see, you have quite the muscular one with a large back there, so I'm assuming that you can probably carry quite a bit if...
Yeah.
For the glory of Rumplank, we'd love nothing more than to learn everything we can about the legendary Poppy Van Barnacle. And whatever material legacy she left behind on our beloved island.
For the glory of Rumplank, for sure.
So yeah, we'll make that half of the map disappear into their pockets and rejoin the group.
Yeah, that sounds fair to me. They don't seem to be arguing. I do have one request, though. Is there like a retainer or a guard or something like that also in the room?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of castle guards. And
yeah, I just pick a random guy from the group and go, yeah, I want that guy's shoes if we pull this off, too. Both of them. Laces intact.
If we pull them off, I can give you a dozen of our guard's shoes.
No, I want his in particular, but I love the way you're thinking. This is going to be a great partnership. I am looking forward to this enterprise. All glory to Rumplank.
How many feet do you have exactly?
I got four, but they're not for me.
Thought you might have had a couple spare stash somewhere.
Oh, you need shoes? We'll talk after. This isn't the time. We've been through this.
I'll check out these palsies. I need shoes.
All right.
Cool. Well, Precta gets some ink from the little octopus on her neck, and she writes on her... She makes a note on her book. King equal useless, comma, greedy, comma, okay, dot, period. And then in a new line, she adds, booty, ? She closes the book, puts it on her waist, and is ready to go.
Juan is going to bow gracefully to the group of royals in front of him, and he is going to say, I would never refuse a request from such beautiful people as yourselves. Or birds. Beautiful.
Yeah, on account of the plumage.
Well, very well. If you don't have any other questions, I can just report back. You know where to find me. And the prince. Oh, go ahead.
How old is your daughter?
Damn.
Getting right into it.
Never mind, we can discuss this later. Let us go, my friends.
And off you go. All right. So where are you headed to next? There was a couple of suggestions. You also have other ways of finding information. In Pathfinder 2, you can also spend, you know, just a couple hours trying to gather some information or recall some knowledge about anything you might want. So, cool. What are your next? So let's pause. Let's take this back a pace. What do you guys want to do?
Cool. Right, so essentially, we got four leads from my notes. I'm not sure if everybody got the same. We've got the Temple of Many Colors with Prismatic Colvi, who's got an ego and claims Poppy was really devout. We've got Treasure Beach, which sounds right up Rizzik's alley, because that's 90% of what he does in his free time. There's Ink and Quill, which I think you said was its name, was a school or something like that.
Yeah, the Quill
and Scroll Academy.
Quill and Scroll Academy.
Quill and Scroll. And then, you know,
our good notes. We're just showing how it's done.
For the rough parts of town, you know, there's always the gutted snake. Sounds like you guys are into that kind of thing. They don't let me into many bars. I've been known to spit out poison accidentally sometimes.
Okay, what are we feeling here? Treasure Beach, just kind of chilling out on Treasure Beach. That sounds like fun just on the face of it.
Perhaps there are some beautiful maidens over there in their knickers.
Usually are.
Okay, so we got Treasure Beach is a valid option for the party based on just character interest. Realistically, the dude at the Temple of Many Colors probably has information for us if we talk to him nicely. And you never know what you're going to find in a tavern. The school is so far out of Rizzurk's wheelhouse that I'm just, as a person, ignoring it.
I mean,
Procta... Well, I'm sure Procta probably is like, yeah. That's where I want to go first!
Absolutely. She's just, like, quivering a little, like, I want to go to the academy.
Now, you know, I have in my very short life discovered that it really pays to let the nerds kind of do their thing. So I am a little bit excited at the prospect of letting our big brain loose on that there academy.
She'll be happy to do it.
All right, cool. So it sounds like we got a couple really good options. Any of you guys devout might come in handy. I'm, you know, I got my thing going on, but yeah.
Not particularly, but I've spent some time in the temple.
Yeah. Yeah, I've dropped a few people off there. I didn't hurt them.
Of course not. But,
you know, sometimes when you're picking stuff up off the beach, you know, you just find somebody floating, you gotta, you know, ruffle through their pockets, and, you know, they spit up a bunch of water at you, and you're like, oh shit, you're alive. Take the rocks out of their pockets, drag them to a temple.
Sounds totally normal.
Hate it when that happens, for sure.
Yeah, really slows down the whole scavenging business.
All right, so is the plan to divide and conquer, or do we want to all go as a group into each one of this?
Splitting the party right off the bat.
Splitting the party, yeah, that is the classic move, yeah.
I'm down for it. There's six of us. Just don't get killed.
Don't get killed. See, that's the thing, is I feel like we're probably not going to get killed at the academy, right? Surely.
Bunch of nerds with books. What is there to be afraid of?
Exactly. I mean, apart from all the, you know, fireballs and what have you, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Juan did not hear nerds with books. Just going to point that out. He heard something different.
So Syl's going to head off towards the temple then.
You going to the temple?
Yeah.
All right. We'll go to the temple. Let's do this.
I mean, we can split up. That's fine. But...
I mean, by all means, if you want to split.
let's go ahead and let Syl do her thing, and let's go on a rotation. It feels like everybody's kind of got a favorite spot, but you know, I figure if Prince Gloopy, in his infinite wisdom, did see it rat to assemble us, I do not really perceive that we have a. It would be a great maneuver to render us asunder, quite exactly. So let us proceed as a unit.
Proceed as a unit?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, temples are really good place to, you know, I got some old, like hourglasses and that kind of thing. You know, people really start thinking about the time when they go to, you know, temples. So might be able to make a little bit of coin while we're there.
Let's go. I don't know where it is right now, though. I'm all turned around.
All right.
Yeah, and Roden's completely relying on everybody for directions. He knows where the gutted snake is because that's where he spent last night. And here I want you guys to imagine a scene where you see the same scene from earlier where Roden is being ejected from the bar. Now it's the shot is farther out. And as Roden crash lands onto the street outside, you can see the gutted snake written atop the bar. And then you see Juan Jik walking out of the door and waving at Roden, who has been like just carved a furrow into the dirt road out in front of this bar.
He's just checking to see that his new friend is okay. Everything all good?
Yeah.
All right. So if you're looking at the map or at what I'm pinging right now, that is Castle Rumplink. So that's where you find yourselves currently. Temple of Many Colors is actually not that far away. It's right there. I'm pinging it. Oh.
Okay, kind of southwest across the bridge.
Yep.
Yeah, so as we're looking here, we're looking at the city of Rumplank. It is arranged around Barnacle Bay, and we are at the northernmost part in Castle Rumplank there, the seat of power with the royal family that we've discovered. And we are now being summoned to this temple, which is just off to the west on the western settlement across this body of water here.
Yeah, the Temple of Many Colors is located in Barrel Square. And let's give a little brief description here about Barrel Square. So those who have been in Rumplink for a fair amount of time know that Barrel Square is also called New Rumplank. Most of the old timers call it New Rumplank. It's where most of the market stalls, the food huts, are all located. This is the town that most foreigners know about. It is the place that Rumplank is known for. Rumplank is known throughout Galarian and the Ingo Isles as the party town. This is where raucous parties are held, is in Barrel Square. You got delicious food, you got all sorts of various relaxation that Juan and Syl have probably partaken of. If you're on the hunt for new adventuring gear, this is where you find your artisans. If you're looking for some of Rumplank's famous coconut fried payayos, that's their local delicacy, you'll find it here in Barrel Square. If you want to rent a bungalow just to crash for a couple hours, just to get your groove back before you go back to partying, it's in Barrel Square.
Pathfinder is property of Paizo Incorporated. The Jewel of the Indigo Isles Adventure Path is property of Battlezoo and Roll for Combat, copyright 2022. The theme music is used with permission, written and performed by Wunches and Rogues. Check them out on Bandcamp and Facebook. All trademarks are property of their respective owners.